In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus says to all of you, come, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. For you will find rest for your souls. What exactly are you worried about? What exactly are you anxious about? What makes you choke back tears or try to use band-aids that numb it? What makes you angry? What makes you frustrated? I know that you have your list and I have mine, clerical collar or not. We have lived together for many years, and Pastor Fisher has lived with you for 30 years almost. And as we have rejoiced with you and as we have suffered with you, we know kind of what's on each other's lists, but not everything. For we all sin, we all struggle, we all fall. There's no use in denying it, as Paul realized. Unless, that is, you want to think that bondage is actually freedom, and freedom is bondage. But just think for a moment how odd it is that we would drive ourselves into the ground, deeply wound our loved ones, destroy our life even, in hopes of manufacturing some sort of peace and rest. Not to mention that in our efforts to create this peace and rest, we agonize over every step, every decision, only then to be surrounded by the exact opposite of what we were seeking, peace and rest. Oh, the foolishness of it all. I don't know, but maybe we thought that the ends would justify the means. Perhaps we thought that we could, like God, kill in order to make alive. But no. Here's the reality. What we harm and what we kill by our sin, we are helpless to restore, to raise, and to resurrect. We cannot put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And then now, as we stare at the rubble of our life that we thought was going to be this magnificent castle, St. Paul last week stingingly asked us this. So what, again, fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. In other words, how'd they go for you? Is it everything that you dreamed that it would be? No, not by a long shot. Just think of Adam and Eve and the conversations that they had around that. So Eve, was the bite worth it? Well, if you wouldn't have just sat there and stood there and not said anything and defended me, maybe we wouldn't be in this predicament. Well, if I had spoke to you, you wouldn't have listened. We don't want to fight. What I do know is that from the woman's seed will come forth a child that will say to us and to all the previous generations that come from us, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we prodigal sons and daughters, all of us, long to hear those words. And to realize that not only are we hearing these words of our Father, that He has this mercy and love and forgiveness in hand, but that He gives it to us even before we can reach Him. And so it is that I cannot believe what I am hearing. I cannot believe what I am receiving. And yet I am so glad that I am. You know, I cannot believe that I'm being absolved of all my sins by the command of Christ, though I've often commended a pound of flesh for sins committed against me. I can't believe that I'm covered with baptismal waters that wash over me and forgive my sins, even though I've really not thought really at all that I'm a baptized child of God. I cannot believe that I'm consuming the body and blood of Jesus Christ, even though I have often consumed my neighbor's body and spilt my neighbor's blood in delight. As we say in the third article of the Creed, basically, I believe that I cannot believe. That's why I thank God that He has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in this true faith. For otherwise, I would have no hope of salvation or peace. And I can guarantee you, I certainly would not be here before you, and you would not be sitting there before me. For when you slow down and you think for a minute in this harried life about these salutary gifts that you receive in this place, this absolution, this baptism, this supper, you cannot but thank God that Jesus has done this for you. And with those eyes of a forgiven flesh and body and soul and restored, you see how foolish you were. I'm so sorry, as we say. And you see that you could only rearrange your life with the broken pieces of Humpty Dumpty into this mangled kind of life, into what we call maybe a best case scenario. So everything, something's broke and you put glue on it and you like, okay, stay. And then for me, it would likely fall off the counter again and break into a bunch of more pieces. That's the best that we can do. But with the forgiveness of sins, you see, with Jesus, He gives us a whole new life. Holy new start, new beginning. The old is gone, the new has come. And naturally, Jesus bids all people to come and receive this rest and this refreshment. And all means all. Not some, not a few, not merely members, but all. This sea of sinful humanity that it is outside the ark of the church, Jesus says, come unto me. Listen to me. Not another, not social media, not your own head, not even well-meaning support groups, but Jesus says, me. And why? Is He a narcissist? No, He is not. For Jesus says this because He knows that what you labor with and the burdens that you bear are so much more than the sweat of your brow, the pain of childbearing and child rearing, the anguish of life and its ups and downs. He knows that it's your conscience that labors apart from Christ, torturing yourself under the law, trying to be good enough or thinking that you're too good and you don't need it. Or maybe globalizing your failure and saying that you're a complete mess and you don't deserve anything. As a way to say that you deserve everything. That's a nice move, isn't it? And strangling all hope because of this fierce undertow that we call, and as St. Paul says, this wretchedness of sin. Learn from me, Jesus says. And you, O Christian, your rest and your refreshment is only in Him, your Savior, in the Son's embrace that reveals the Father's love. For no one knows the Father's love except the one who knows the Son's gifts. And the one who knows the Son's gifts will know and find peace and refreshment in the Father's love. Now, this rest is not simply when Jesus takes us, as we say in the Catechism, from this valley of sorrow to Himself in heaven. It is rather a wonderful oasis for our downtrodden spirits now, in this life. This day, this strife, this worry, this anxiety, whatever it is. Because you know what? Jesus is clear that upon being granted this rest, this refreshment for our souls, we will also be given a new burden, a yoke. But it will not be a yoke that we will bear alone. And so we learn and we receive from Jesus that this rest is necessary because life is a long, dark road with ways that you have no idea in which it's going to turn. Therefore, this rest, this baptism, this supper, this absolution is a fountain of joy amid the sorrow. Courageous courage amid the fight and undaunting peace amid this enveloping chaos that we call our life. It is a yoke not for one, but for two. For do you not know that you are yoked with Christ to his death and to his resurrection, where your sins burden you no longer, but are borne by Jesus, his yoke, his cross, his justification? For his yoke literally changes death into laughter, punishment into joy, hell into heaven. For all who come receiving Jesus and this refreshment, they can bear their crosses with joy. They can smile at the world when it mocks them. They can laugh at the grave when it buries them. This is what St. Paul means when he says, rejoice in your sufferings. Count yourselves worthy for being afflicted for Christ's sake. So Jesus' call to come to him and rest and be at peace does not mean that you quit your jobs and you abandon your stations in life and you just simply wait for Jesus to take you to heaven. No. That rest is yours in Jesus, not as a permanent vacation from life, but the way in which you actually bear life. It doesn't free you to lay in bed and be lazy all day or fritter away your time in pursuits of ungodly things. No, it means that you go about your work being in Christ and one who lives in Christ. You rest in him by faith in his gospel. You have peace with God even as you labor this sweat of love. You hold fast your husband or your wife. You raise your children, your grandchildren, and you take care of your friends and your neighbors and the like. And about those worries, about those anxieties, yes, we have our lists. They are long, they are complicated, they are messy. And they will not magically disappear because, you know what, we just want them to go away. Or we just desire by our hearts that they just don't exist. Or we're just going to set it on fire and the list is just going to disappear just into ashes. No. These lists are not erased, but they are born in the heat of the day by Jesus. Crucified in time for us as the clock ticks those same 24-hour days over and over and over again. They are born in his being for us, in that the Father has revealed himself to us, his little children, his babes, his lambs. That's why Jesus says, learn from me. For he is meek and lowly in heart. And therefore he gently schools you in the way that you ought to live. Tenderizing your soul by the law and refreshing your soul by the gospel. He teaches you how to live by giving himself in his death and resurrection to you that you might do the same for your neighbor. He saves you and I from our well-meaning thoughts that we can kill in order to make alive, that we can use a pound of law to squeeze out an ounce of gospel, Or the hypocrisy of saying, well, you know what? Do as I say, but don't do as I do. He quite literally, as Paul says, saves me from myself, from my body of death, by my disordered condition, by revealing the Father's love through his Son's cross. Come, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and Jesus will refresh you. Learn from him, he says, for his gospel in his liturgy of his own lips and actions are all for you. Taste the mercy this day that you never thought would come, the forgiveness that you never thought you would hear, and the love that you never thought you would be given. Eat, drink, and be at peace, for here at this table is both present and eternal peace and rest. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.